football.
Oh, about my football experience?
Mississippi.
Well, I went off to Mississippi College in 1920. Yeah, and 2 years at Mississippi College, and then I went up to Ole Miss and spent my last 2 years up there and got my degree up there. I went up to Mississippi College, and they took me down to Patterson. That's where the train ran from Natchez to Jackson. It was called the Little J Railroad. It was a branch of the YMV back in the old days. And I got on the train at Patterson. I don't know whether I'd ever been on a train before or not. Yes, I guess I had, because we went down to New Orleans when Papa was so ill one time and stayed down there with this cousin of ours on Chapatula Street. Yes, I had. I'd been on the train before because, see, that's before I went off to college is when I had that experience down in New Orleans and over in Tree City, Louisiana.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell about going off to college. Mother ordered me some pajamas. I had never owned a pair. She ordered them from Sid and Roebuck and got me a couple of pairs of pajamas, and she got my suitcase all fixed up, and they loaded me on the train, and I got off of the train down here at McCraven. It was a little flag stop. They'd let you off if you were coming there, or if somebody waved the train, they'd stop and pick you up. So an old darky met me there from over Clinton with a one mule dray, and I put my trunk on that little wagon, and he hauled me over to Mississippi College, and I had a room. I don't know how Mom and Papa got it. I was rooming with a boy by the name of Troy Farrah. He's dead now. He was president of the bank at Pineville, Louisiana when he died. He was from down here at Rockport. But Troy and I roomed together my freshman year over there. And of course, being as country as I was, those boys took advantage of me, the upperclassmen did. They told me I couldn't turn the heat on my radiator until I bought a ticket, so they sold me a $2 radiator ticket so I could heat my room. And Hillman College always had a reception for the freshmen. That was a sister female school down the street from us. And Edwina Cox's mother, Ms. Berry, was head of it, and Dr. Berry, he was president of Whitworth College, Hillman College. And I go down there that night with my ticket. The boys told me I couldn't go to that reception unless I bought a dollar ticket. So I bought that ticket, and when I got to the door, Ms. Bear was there greeting us, and I handed her the ticket, and she looked at me and said, "Poor thing. Those mean old upperclassmen, they just take advantage of you, dear freshman." And she could look at me and tell I was just as country as they made them, you know. Green, 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 and oh, they did everything. And I stayed away 2 years and never had a thing in the world to happen to me. And about 2 months before the second year was up, the lights went off in the dining room, and somebody clobbered me with a biscuit. I mean, hit me right smack in the face, threw it in the dark, see? Well, I grabbed me a biscuit and jumped up and threw it as I got there. Actually, the lights come on. There I stood. They campused me for 2 weeks. I couldn't even come to Jackson. I had to stay on the campus, and that was real punishment. So that was the only time I had any trouble in my 4 years of college. I was fixing to hit somebody with a biscuit in the dining room.
And how you ever got started? You never heard of football.
No. You see, they didn't have school over at Mississippi College on Monday because so many of the students were preachers, going to school studying to be preachers. And they had churches at Sunday, so they didn't get back in time for classes on Monday. And they had churches all over the state, and some of them maybe in Louisiana, I don't know. So we had school on Saturday, and they left after classes Saturday and went to the church and preached Sunday and then come back Sunday morning because they had night service that Sunday night. So we were out in front of the old chapel over there playing tag football. Well, it started out as tag football. I had never seen a game. Well, I'd seen Chamberlain Hunt practicing down there at Port Gibson one time when we'd come into town. And we stopped by the side of the road, and we didn't know what they was doing. I thought that was the roughest game I'd ever seen. They were just knocking one another's heads off, and I couldn't see for what. And so we were playing tag football, and I had on a pair of overalls, and I'd been roping cattle and cutting pole stocks and getting out winter wood and making a farm, and I was tough as a nut. Now, I'll tell you, brother, those city boys that with here from town, they had couldn't hold me a light because I was tough. And it got past that tag after about the third down, you know. Somebody knocked you and you began to knock him, and boy, we was playing like we had on all the equipment to play football. And I noticed this man standing over there on the sidewalk, and directly he came over to me and he said, "I'm Coach Robinson." He said, "Did you ever play football?" And I said, "No, sir, I never saw a game." He said, "How about coming out for football?" I said, "To play?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "All right." He said, "Well, come down to the dressing room this afternoon, I'll give you a uniform." Well, back in those days, they didn't have tackling dummies and things to push where the boys could develop. They used freshmen as tackling dummies, and I didn't know that's what he was after. So the first evening I was down there, he gave me the football and said, "Now go up there and run with it, and I'm going to send Goat Hale and these boys up there to tackle you." Well, Goat had just come back from the war, and he was had been a great star that 5 years before that. And they just knocked my block off that evening. And I'd have about decided I'd made a mistake in getting into that. But I thought I'll go back the next day and see what's going on. The second day is going to be like, and it was some of the same. That second night, I could hardly crawl up that hill there back of the dormitory. There was a slope up from the football
field.
Tell
them what the field was made of.
Well, it didn't have any grass on it.
Cinders.
It just had cinders and sprig of grass here and yonder. And none of the fields had anything. We played down in Florida with Mississippi College, and it was just on a sand bed with sand burrs all over. When you hit the ground, they just stick all in your wool jersey. You couldn't get them out. Well, we had a terrible time down there. But after about a week, I began to like it. And so he put me at center. And those boys were about to kill me with that, with my head down between my legs, passing that ball back. So I went to him and I said, "Coach, I like this game, but I don't like that playing center." He said, "Why?" I said, "Because I can't see what's going on." I said, "I got my head down between my legs, snapping that ball, and they're about to kill me."
Were you wearing glasses?
No, I took my glasses off. Always. I even played baseball without my glasses and basketball. And he laughed and said, "All right, where would you like to try?" I said, "Let me play on that man that plays out there on that end position." He said, "All right." So he got me out there and he said to me, "You are too slow to play this position. You're going to have to get a little more speed." Well, he taught me how to get a little more speed. I'll never forget him yet. He finished at Colgate. I told him one time, I said, outside of my father, you meant more to me than any man who ever lived. And he appreciated that. I said, "First place, you taught me to play football. I took part in all three sports. I went on and coached and met my wife, and my children are all here." He hadn't been dead too long, and I told him that. And he got him a little paddle about that long, Bill, and had a little handle trimmed on it. And he stood right behind me in that end position. And every time the ball had snapped, he'd slap me in the rump with that paddle. Well, you know, in the seat of a pair of football pants, they have but one little piece of thin material. There's no padding back there at your rump. It's on your hips and your kidneys and things like that. Well, he had me getting in the backfield before the ball ever got snapped. He stood there every evening and slapped me in the rump with that paddle, and I'd charge off ahead of him. He had to finally stop hitting me because I'd getting off before the ball was snapped. They were getting me for being offside. So I picked up my speed because I didn't know when he was going to hit me, see? He kept me on the go all the time. And we came time to go for the first game, and they were Mississippi College was playing Tulane in New Orleans at Tulane Stadium. Well, we had a meeting that night before the team left the next morning, and he called out who was going. And he got through with his team, and he said, "Now we got two country boys here. One of them is Delma Simmons from McBride, and the other one is Roy Winster from Winthrop, Louisiana." And he said, "I'm going to take them down there and let them see the city." Well, yeah, not to play. After the meeting was over that night, I went to him and I said, "Coach, must I pack my uniform?" He said, "Why, sure." So I packed my uniform along with the rest of the boys and was thrilled to death. And got down there to the game, and of course that stadium, just, I'd never seen anything like it. And that city, I'd been there when I was a little bitty fella, but I didn't remember any of it. So the game started, and it hadn't been going very long before he turned around to me and said, "Get your head gear." And I said, "Coach, I haven't got one." He said, "Well, borrow one." Now, he'd never given me a headgear, see. I'd just been borrowing somebody's. When they wasn't playing, I'd use it. We didn't have much equipment in those days. So he handed me that headgear, and somebody did, and put it on me, and he said, "Now you go in there and take your position at end," and said, "You shift steward over to tackle and tell Hudson to come out." Well, I got in there and got it all balled up. I sent steward out and put Hudson over playing a position he'd never played. He kept looking at the coach, but he kept waving to go on, you know. And they were calling the game back to Mississippi College by radio. And Tulane had a great football team that year. They up here at Canton played named Lackenslaughter. And Flannoy was a punter. He was from Canton. And Eddie Reed played center. And the next play, they came around my end for 35 yards. Somebody, when they hollered out, "Freshman Simmons goes in left end." Next play, Fauntleroy runs around Simmons' end for 35 yards. They said, "Get that freshman out of there. He's scared to death." Well, I was. I looked down at my togs, and they just wet as they could be. I hadn't had a chance. Yeah, it just scared me to death. And on the next down, I got back and caught the quarterback, Lackenslaughter, for a 15-yard loss. And that gave me confidence. I played in the rest of the games at Mississippi College and the rest of them at Ole Miss. I never missed a game, except when I was crippled. We beat them 14-0. And the paper said it didn't rain at Tulane Stadium. It didn't snow, but it hailed like hell. Goat Hale ran wild down there. He had a couple of, that was a headline in the New Orleans paper. So we really upset that bunch, and old Judge Tyler gave us all a gold football, and Mother's got it on her. 19-21 is when it was. For beating Tulane. They had Mississippi College 14, Tulane 7. Give each player on the squad a gold football. So we did what? Well, yes, they have. We've had. I've got an Ole Miss football. Don't you remember that M?
Yeah, that's right.
That blue and red M. Judge Tolley. He was an attorney. He was so proud of him. He just gave everybody on the team.
Eddie's telling you about coming back on the train.